Welcome, everybody. Merry Christmas. Great to see you. Welcome, everybody online who's with us, and Merry Christmas to you. And if you're new, you're a visitor, somebody brought you today, Merry Christmas. Welcome. I want you to feel comfortable here at Calvary Chapel in Quakertown. And so what we're going to do is remind ourselves of Christmas, what it's all about. And while we're gathering today, and then we're going to take the Lord's Supper with each other. So if you're coming and you're a visitor, you have no idea what's going on, somebody just brought you today, you don't have to take communion with us. If you're a believer and your heart, I want to do this, no matter what church you go to, great. We offer that to you. So I believe you got the communion elements before you came and sat down. So, and Tim gave you the instructions. Great at giving instructions, isn't he? Very good instructions. We do this every year. I'm so glad we could do this and be normal in the midst of all the insanity that's going on. And so I'm sure in your own home you have your own conversations around Christmas. What's going on? What are we doing? Why do we do this every year? Why do we buy presents for our kids when they're 50? Why do we buy presents for each other? After a while, you realize, like, why are we doing this? We're just buying each other things and putting it under a tree, whatever your tradition is, and we're celebrating what? Well, it's really important to remember what we're doing and why this is important, because Christmas, the advent of Christ, the first advent of Christ, his incarnation and birth, is, if not, it's connected to the most significant event in history. So I had a conversation with one of my kids. We were talking about what's the most significant event in the scripture. Is it the birth of Christ? Is it the cross and resurrection of Christ? You can't separate them. You can't have the sacrifice of Christ and his resurrection without the incarnation. And you can't have the effect of the cross, the sacrifice and the resurrection and redemption without the virgin birth. So important. You can't separate the two. You really can't have one without the other. So when we do this, we're reminding ourselves of, number one, how important it is that Christ came into the world and split history, BC, AD. That event split history. They only started messing with it this century because they just don't like the fact that his birth, Christ's birth, is so significant that we literally date our centuries by his birth, right? We have two gospel accounts that give us the specifics on the birth. We have Matthew and we have Luke. We'll look at a little bit of Luke after what Tim read earlier on. One has to do a lot of the fulfillment of the prophecies that were given in the Old Testament. That's Matthew. And Luke gives us a deeper insight into the facts, the events that surrounded his birth and the birth itself. So important because God wants us to remember this, what actually happened when he came into the world. And that great is the mystery of godliness, Paul said. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Literally, he took on humanity forever. He's not going to put it off ever again. And we're going to think about that this morning as we take a moment and we think about his birth, what it means, what he did to be our Savior, to bring peace to us. Because what we need most out of everything in the world that we think we need is his peace. His peace that he wants every human being to have, every Christian has been given because of our relationship with him, but he wants us to know that peace. And that's why he came. And it's a beautiful, wonderful season to remember what took place. It's the older I get, the more important this is to me. When I was a kid, it was all about what's under the tree. When I got saved, I wasn't really sure what was going on again because I was thinking, well, is this commercialization? And are we getting taken just because it's been marketed? And that definitely happens. We know that. But the older I get and the more I see my family and my kids getting older and you think, what? Wow, this is so important. not just to experience nostalgia, but to remember he came into the world as the Savior so that people can be saved from their sins and have eternal life and know him and have his peace forever. Now, on Sunday, if you were here, we looked at the beginning of Luke chapter 2 and the account that led up to Joseph and Mary coming to Bethlehem and his birth. And nobody was really interested in it other than Mary and Joseph and the Lord himself who was born. There was no attention. There was no room for them in the inn. And if you were to look at his birth just from a human standpoint, you would say, this kid has absolutely no hope. There's no greatness there. There's no royalty visiting him. These are less than common people. They were poor. And she brought forth her firstborn son. She did it. There was no midwife. There was no doctors as we know today. It was Mary. We don't even know how much Joseph participated in that. But we now have heaven's standpoint here too, because even though man was fully unaware of what was going on, the most significant event in history, his birth, that splits AD and BC, all heaven knew. And heaven sends angels now to speak to common people, shepherds. Because you can read this a million times and be like, I know the shepherds came, and sometimes we think the shepherds and the wise men there were there at the same time. They weren't. The shepherds came. The wise men were later. The shepherds were notified by heaven of what took place in Bethlehem. Who were shepherds? Shepherds were common, hardworking, practical men. They had no time for fantasy. They had no time to play games. They were real. It says that they were living out in the fields. These are the people that God wanted to first inform about the birth of the most important person in the universe, who would work the greatest work of all time, salvation. Who would be the first person the natural man would invite? It would be the greatest people that you know. But God did not invite Octavian. He did not invite Herod, who tried to kill Christ. And he did not invite the high priest or any of the priestly household to the birth of the Son of God. He invited ordinary people who would actually be ceremonially unclean because for weeks at a time, they'd be away from the temple doing their work. So they couldn't even go worship according to the ceremony of the law. They were seen as unclean. God sent the angel to them to bring notice to men that his son was born. It's significant because most of us, what we are, normal. Just normal. Because you can think, well, does God really pay attention to me? I'm not that great. And sometimes we think he really knows who the great people are. God's like, I know who they are too. But he pays attention to every human being, no matter how high, no matter how low, no matter how middle of the road we may be. He cares for all. And that's one of the reasons why he picked these guys. Because if he went to Octavian, well, of course he went to the emperor, the self-proclaimed exalted one. Of course he went to King Herod. Of course he went. But he said, I'm going to shepherds. Because God calls not the mighty, not the rich, not the great, but the poor and the lowly of the world. This is what Paul says. You know your calling to the Corinthians. You know your calling. Not many wise, not many mighty, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. The humble things of the world, the lowly, to put to shame the exalted, that no flesh should glory in his presence. And I am so thankful that he did it this way so I can know, well, he cares about little old me and little old us. He's fully aware. And their response was, of course, they were terrified. You know, if you're out in the fields and all of a sudden somebody showed up and popped in on you, you would be afraid. That's natural. But this is somebody from heaven who is sinless and bringing the glory of God with them. And they are terrified when they see this angelic messenger. And he says to them, do not be afraid. Here's the first thing they needed to remember, and this is something for us. Don't be afraid. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. This is for every human being. Guys, you're first. Don't be afraid. Now, they were probably still nervous and shaking, but at least they got the message. Don't be afraid. God's brought good tidings to you, to everybody, and there's going to be great joy for anybody who receives this Savior because he is born to you. Notice that. He's born to you. He's given to you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes should have eternal life. Should not perish, but have eternal life. He gave his Son so we can know him. When he sent Jesus into the world, the message is good news so that we don't have to be afraid anymore. Because the natural response would be fear. If we saw an angel that says, he's bringing salvation, he's a Savior, he's born to you and to anybody. Now, I want you to go to Bethlehem, and you're going to go, and you're going to, here's the sign, you're going to see a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. That's a stone feeding trough. This is the sign. Because they might show up and be like, well, if he's a Savior, he's going to be born somewhere really special, right? Like, you know, not Bethlehem, House of Bread, that small little village 5 miles away from the city. He's going to be like in the city, right? Everybody's going to know he's going to be in a palace. He's going to be on a really plush little crib with big cozy pillows and bodyguards and lots of great stuff around. No, he's going to be in a manger, an animal feeding trough, wrapped in, it'll be warm, but swaddling clothes, strips of cloth that were used for burial, actually. Because they might show up and think, this isn't the guy. God saying, that's the one. And then these angels just show up suddenly. They're praising God, glory to God in the highest, and peace again on earth and goodwill towards men. This glory hadn't been seen in earth for centuries. The glory of God had not been revealed to men for centuries. Matter of fact, the first time the angels gave praise like this was at creation. But now because the Son of God has been born, he's going to bring in the new creation, a new hope for anybody who will know him. And if that was me, if I just saw an angel without seeing Christ, that would just be enough. That's it. That's the main thing, getting shocked by angels, seeing God's glory, but that wasn't the main attraction. The main attraction was a baby with a young virgin mom and in a poor little place environment in a stone feeding trough. That was the main attraction. I want you to go. And so they said something we all need to think about today again. Verse 17, so it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass. Let's go see this thing. So let's take a moment and remind ourselves of what this is all about by seeing this thing that has come to pass. What did they see when they came to Bethlehem? They came with haste, verse 18, and they found Mary and they found Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now, we don't know of any other conversation or how long they were there for, but they found this little family just as the angel had said to them. They didn't know everything we know. They did not know, unless it was revealed to them, as far as we know, they didn't know that he was the eternal God. They didn't know that he was sinless, the creator. These are things that they would learn afterwards as Jesus revealed that to them, as he has to us. But we know. We know who he is, what the Bible tells us about him, don't we? Who is in that manger? I like what Wesley said. John Wesley said, God contracted to a span. God. Think about that. As a baby, helpless, speechless, the eternal word that created the universe is now held by a mother, dependent on a mother. I guarantee you, she didn't know what to do. If you have babies, you don't know what you're doing. We could all say, oh, we don't know what to do. They didn't know what they were doing either. Scared, wondering what this all means. She had God in her hands. She had the one in her arms that she's placing in a stone feeding trough, something an animal ate out of, the word of God. Luther said, the mystery of his humanity is immense in that God sunk himself into human flesh. That's who's there in that manger. Why did he come as a baby? Because when the Bible says that he's the savior of the world, he came to save us from the works of the devil that brings death. He came to save us from our sin that separates us from God. He came to take the sin upon himself. When they came to that scene, they saw a naked baby with burial cloths wrapped around him in a stone feeding trough. It was a picture of what he would go through in his death right from the beginning. It was a sign to them, and they would always remember that. That was the sign. That's why he came as a grown man to be the sin bearer. That's who Jesus is. And it's for every one of us. Anybody, great, low, rich, poor, whatever our color is, whatever our background is, whatever our knowledge is or isn't, it is for anybody because it is to all people. And as a Christian, I've been saved since 1989. I need to remember this every day. I'll take it every year and remember it as a special day on Christmas. I love doing this. To think, Lord, you are the one alone who can give peace. We live in a troubled world. And I think even more so this year, I've been so shocked about all the things that took place. I'm still thinking, I can't believe that actually happened. There are still people who are just going through it. You know, we can come to church on a Sunday or a Wednesday night or a Sunday night or a Christmas Eve service, and you may be still just reeling from the last 8, 9, 10 months. People have lost loved ones. People have lost balance in their emotions. People have lost jobs. People have lost so much. There's been so many changes. And sometimes what we grasp for is something here to be able to bring stability, right? Well, if I get this person, you know, working for me, it's going to level things out at work. If I get this person in office, things will be better. If I fix this in my kid, things will be better. If I fix this in my wife, don't do that. Because your wife's like, if I fix you, fix, right? You can think, if I just get this, if I just have that, if I just get over this hump, and maybe some of that's legit. Some things can be tweaked in our lives to bring some more stability and balance. And we don't diminish that. But one thing that a ruler can never do, wealth can never do, even the closest relationships that we can have can never do, as good as they can be, is bring the peace that we were created to know. There's only one person who can give that, and that peace trumps everything else. Everything else is the peace of God. Jesus said, peace I give to you, I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, give I to you. What is that peace? First of all, it's peace with God. That the war is over. There's no conflict between me and the Father. You and the Father. Isn't it good to know that even if everything else, everyone, everything in the world fell apart in your life, there's one who say, I still love you. And that's the one that you want to be right with. We have peace with him, Paul says, because of the blood of the cross of Jesus. Because of the blood of his cross, he has reconciled us to God. He's made us one with God. Believer, God wants you to know, we have peace. You have peace with me. Peace with God and the peace of God, his own peace, his own rest. The Hebrew word was shalom. It has so many different meanings to it. It was well-being, health, prosperity, security, soundness, completeness, all those things God gives to us. First and foremost in here. Peace. Two times the angel says, peace. Goodwill towards men. Peace. He's the Prince of Peace. We can know, again, as we remember his birth, that he is the one who will return. We have Christmas as first advent. He splits history. When he was 33 years old, he surrendered his will to the Father because it was the Father's will for him to be the sin bearer. And he went to the cross for every one of us. And he died there in our place. Remember this. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us that we would be the righteousness of God in Christ. There was a transfer. He put our sins on Christ. And he took Jesus' righteousness and gave it to us. That's why we have peace with God. And he died according to the scriptures. And he rose again the third day according to the scripture. And he ascended up to heaven. It's not over. He's returning. Every time we remember Christmas, first Advent, we remember he is coming. And the promise is this, that there's going to be an eternal kingdom that will never fade away. We know this verse out of Isaiah because we read it often during Christmas, but let's remind ourselves of it. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The child born, that's his humanity. The son given, that is his deity. And the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. That's his promise. We can take refuge again today in him, reminding ourselves as Christians, he came into the world for me to be saved. He was born for every human being to know him, to be saved. But he wants you to remember for you. In the middle of a crowd, a gathering at church, he knows every one of us personally. He says, I want you to know my peace. And I think even more now than ever, we need to remember this. No matter what happens in this world, he's got us in his hand and he won't let us go because of this event in history, Christmas. How wonderful, how beautiful. It reminds the believer who we are. He wants us to remember these things. If you're sitting here this morning and you're battling with temptation, you're battling with, maybe you've even gone back. We call that being backslidden. You've walked away from the Lord. You're his. You're a Christian. You made a commitment to him. But you're not walking with him. By his grace, he calls you back to himself. Let that be today. Remember who you are and who he is. He called these shepherds to know who Jesus is. He's calling to you by his word to come back and walk with Jesus again. And by his grace, he will forgive all of your sins. And he calls the lost to salvation, and he's still doing it. He's been doing it for 2,000 years. Since this day, he's been calling sinners to salvation, to turn from their sins and know his peace. God wants to give that to you, and it's his free gift. You can't earn it. God sent Jesus into the world for you. He died on the cross in your place. He knows exactly who you are. And his will is that you would turn to him today and ask for forgiveness and have salvation. That's the greatest gift anybody will ever have, is the gift of salvation. So what we're going to do is we're going to do another song. Brent's going to come up with the team, worship team. So guys, why don't you come on up? We're going to sing a song. And I believe everybody has their communion cups in their hand, right? Just hold on to those. And just think about the love of God, the grace of God, that we can gather today and worship him. And remember that every time we take the elements, now they're a little bit different now. We open them up in a package. We want to do that because we're trying to be as careful as possible with spreading infections. Every time you take that wafer, that bread, every time you take that cup, that grape juice, Paul tells us in the New Testament that we remember his death until he comes. What do we remember? His body was broken for us. When we take the bread and we eat it, we remember Jesus gave his human body, fully human, fully God, fully human, to those who would beat him and spit on him and mock him. He felt it all. He felt fatigue. He felt dehydration. He felt the fist that hit him in the face. He felt it when they pulled his beard out. The insults, the lies, all those things. He felt it fully human. And I believe because of his sinlessness, he felt everything even more acutely than we would. He felt the scourging that they laid on his back, a cat and nine tail that would open up the flesh. His whole body was opened up from that Roman lictor's beating on his back. He felt the weight of the cross in his body. He was so weak and he couldn't even carry it all the way to Golgotha. Simon of Cyrene had to carry it the rest of the way. And when he was laid down on that cross, he didn't fight them as they stretched out his arm. Oftentimes it would dislocate the crucified victim's shoulders. He felt the nails that were driven into his hands and the spike that was driven into his feet. He felt it all. He felt the jolt of his body when they dropped that post into the ground. He felt every insult, every condemning word that came at him while he was on the cross. If you're the Son of God, come down, save yourself. He saved others, but he can't save himself. But beyond all that, in his spirit, in his soul, as a man, he felt the Father place the sin of the world on his Son. He had never sinned. He knew no sin. He was sinless and pure and holy. That is what he feared most in the garden, which caused him to sweat great drops of blood. He felt it all completely for us. And he felt the pain, the searing pain when the Father forsook him and he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? He felt the eternal judgment of the Father on the cross for us. That is what he went through on the cross so that we can be forgiven. You see, what gives us the peace of God is the forgiveness of God. He gives away the right to take vengeance. He forgives it. He removes it as far as the east is from the west for the entire world. every sin you've ever committed, every sin you ever will commit, he took it on himself and bore it for us. That is why he is called the Savior, and he is so wonderful. He is so beautiful. He is so mighty, and he loves us. There is nothing more wonderful than Jesus. Nothing more wonderful. No one more worthy of our worship. He loves us. Every time we take this, we remember his death until he comes. The grave couldn't hold him. He rose from the dead 3 days later. And he's on the right hand of the Father today. I texted somebody today who lost her husband last year. He's a brother who came here for years. It was her birthday. I said, happy birthday. I said, Mike's celebrating Christmas in heaven. Sorry you're stuck here. She got it. He's there. He is fully aware of what's going on here. Every angel is worshiping. Every saint that has gone on before that you may have lost, somebody close to you, somebody dear to you, they are there with him, waiting for us. Until we're home, we get to take this and remember your love for me is beyond what I can even think about. But to the best of my ability, I'm going to take this and worship you, God. So let's do that. Just take a moment while we do this song, and then we'll pray over the elements and take it together. Just a couple closing thoughts here before we go. When we worship him, giving thanks is so important to the Lord. I was just thinking as we were just praying, being at the table of the Lord, how intimate is that? That God actually lets us sit at his table. And look, we weren't there 2,000 years ago, but there's a relationship that we have every day with him, and there's a table to come. There's a marriage supper of the Lamb. Think about the best wedding feast you ever had. Some stick out to you, right? And then you think, that is going to be nothing compared to that. He's preparing a place for us. He wants us to be home. Now, he's with us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. So as we go home today, wherever you're going today, some of you guys are like, I wish I was going home. I have to go to this person's house or over their house. So go to, if you made an agreement to do it, don't complain. What the shepherds did was they worshiped and came. It just flowed from them because they looked at him and they didn't even know everything we knew, and they worshiped. Then they went and told everybody. And they blazed it abroad. And let that be an example to us. And you don't have to be like, I got to be like the shepherd and let people have it. Just wherever you go, when you have the opportunity and the Lord gives you the opportunity, and Christmas, I mean, come on, that's a great opportunity. What are we doing today? I don't know. Santa? No. Jesus Christ. And here's who he is. And when they left that day, they eventually went back to their jobs. Same old, right? But they were new men. We have that opportunity to walk in newness of life and to let the peace of God rule in our hearts wherever we go. We don't know what's going to happen this year. We think we learned that lesson last year. But we do know that he is with us and he's returning. And his return to this world for us is nearer than we first believed. Right? So let his peace rule in your heart. If you leave today as we close, let's stand. We're going to close with a song. If you need prayer, please don't leave without coming up to one of us and asking for prayer. We're here to pray with you and to pray for you. Let us pray for you. If you know you're not a Christian and you know you need to be forgiven and you don't have the peace of God, because the Bible says there's no peace to the wicked. They don't know the peace of God because they're out of fellowship with him, and you're carrying your sin with you and your sin has separated you from God. God sent Jesus to bring you back to God. And that's the Holy Spirit telling you, go to Jesus. He came into the world for you. He died for you and rose again for you. And you come up afterwards and pray with us. We'll lead you in a prayer to be saved, to know Christ. And you can leave today with him going with you. And he'll never leave you nor forsake you. You can have the peace of God with the forgiveness of your sins and the salvation of your soul. There's no greater need than that. Amen? Amen. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for your table and your supper, Lord. Thank you for coming into this world as a human, Lord, fully God, fully man. God was manifest in the flesh, justified by the Spirit, seen of angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. And Lord, we say, Maranatha, Lord, come quickly, Lord Jesus. We give you this song of worship as we close in your name. Amen.